Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
Charlotte Soccer Show, Danny Brams here. Welcome back, Tifos. We are back after a Charlotte FC bye week. Been a long 2 weeks wait to see the crown take the pitch once again, but they are back. They're going in a huge matchup against Philadelphia Union on the road this weekend. Still looking to improve that road form, figure out how to get points on the road to become a true contending team here in the MLS East. Been a great season for Charlotte FC, but it's kind of at a turning point, so really looking forward to this game. I'm going to be at the game. Johnny Hayes and I are hitting the road. We're going to drive up to Philly. We're going to make it a day of it. We're probably going to do a post-game episode in the car on the way back, sort of like a live stream based on the results, so looking forward to that. Johnny's not here today, but as always, I'm always on Fridays. I'm joined by friends from Apple TV, MLS season pass. We're talking to Kaylin Carr today, a 10-year MLS veteran. I think you got 10 years in the league and now doing big things in the broadcasting world. Welcome, Kaylin. How you doing, man? Thanks for joining Charlotte Soccer Show.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Awesome to be here. And yeah, I feel like I haven't got it. That's cool to hear that you're coming up for the match too. I'll be out there, of course, calling the game. But yeah, it's awesome to hear that there's some traveling support coming and taking in the match.
Yeah, this would be my first away day of the year. I usually get three or four in per season. This is my first one here in 2025, so I need to step up the pace. Very cool to have you here today because, like you just said, you're going to be calling the game. You are in the booth. We're going to be watching the games together. Your seat's going to be a little higher, nicer vantage than mine, but I'll be up close in the action. And before we get into this game, we're going to talk a little bit about Charlotte FC, but this is your first time on the show. Like I said, we talked to a lot of folks from Apple MLS Season Pass crew, and we want to welcome you. What's it like for you? What's your experience with the league and the Apple presence and how MLS is sort of rising in a world where the World Cup's coming and the Club World Cup's coming and there's so much excitement around soccer? How blessed do you feel to be able to cover this game every day?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think it's always a bit challenging. I talked to a lot of my former MLS players, and it's always a little challenging figuring out what you want to do after playing. I knew pretty much right away near the end of my career that I wanted to do media. I was actually in Houston. I tore my ACL in MLS Cup, which is not advisable. Wouldn't recommend that. And the next
anything
year,
for the cup, right? Whatever it takes to get the cup. You know,
you can't say I wasn't going for it. Yeah. But yeah, the next year I did a lot more media. I started working at MLS, but I was doing a lot more, I would say, like features and behind the scenes content on the digital side. And then when the Apple deal started, I thought, oh, I just want to be involved any way I can. And so I've gotten to do match analyst work over the last few years, and it's been really great. And just, I think for me, just being involved in the game, still being at the stadiums, talking to managers, talking to players, and then giving my analysis on games, working with Callum Williams, who I'll be on the call with this weekend, has been excellent. It's funny, he was calling my matches when he was at Sporting Kansas City and I was playing for Houston. So we had some rivalry going back in those days, which was great. But yeah, it's been a blast.
Excellent. Yeah, Callum has been on the show. Callum was on earlier this year. I gave him a little bit of stick about Wonderwall and all his time up in Minnesota United. Oh, so yeah. You can remind him of that. You were on the show this week where the host compared Wonderwall to Peppas, the Charlotte FC tradition that we do here in our home match.
I like that.
But pre-game, post-game ritual rivalry. You know, we take it all over the place. But one thing you know then, Kaylin, obviously, as a veteran of this league and someone who's been working in the league since you quit your playing days, is the MLS season is a grind. It is a slog. It is a marathon, not a sprint. It is February to November. It takes for freaking ever. Also, it takes for fucking ever. We can say what we want on this show. We don't need to censor ourselves, just so you know. But Charlotte FC is coming off a bye week. They've got one of the rare breaks in the season where they didn't play last week. There's an international break going on. We've got some guys out of camp. Patrick Ojemong's out working with the U.S. team. Tim Ream's out working with the U.S. team. It's a reset time. Charlotte had hit some bad form with, at the beginning of May, we were in first place in the East. End of May, we were fighting just to hang on to playoff position. What do you see when you watch Charlotte FC this year?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think the timing of the break will actually be well-received in this case, because May was just a really difficult month, mm-hmm. and the games were coming crazy, thick and fast, and in Charlotte's case, not always in the positive direction. And so it felt like it was a little bit of a skid. I think there was a bit of a palate cleanser to get that win and then to move forward with a little bit of a break and a reset. The thing I've noticed overall just from last year to this year is just a shift in some of the changes where I think in some ways it's better in the attack, but I think there's also, it hasn't been the same defensive record that we've seen last year. And, you know, I was seeing some uncharacteristic mistakes, some lack of organization, even in the middle of May, a slight tactical shift from Smith to go to try four against Orlando and then, three in or against Orlando and then to come back to the four. So I think they were searching a little bit in that time. And then, but I'm very curious to see, especially this weekend, what happens from the goalkeeper position, whether it's Kalina, if he gets back into the team. I sort of expect David Bingham to continue after that last. I just feel when a team wins, when you get benched and then a team wins, it's easier to stick with the guy that, you know, had a good performance, but also maybe it was just one where you say, okay, he just needed a reset. Let's take a match off, let Bingham get a match, do well, they get a clean sheet. And then now you come back and you come into the team. So I could see it either direction. Pretty interesting stuff. And for me, the back line, how do you get back to being the Charlotte FC where defense is first, you're not conceding, goals will come, you get your opportunities, and have a little bit more of that structure that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I do think there was a bit more of a, not throwing matches or whatever, but I do think Dean Smith, maybe the fan base doesn't see as much as an analyst would see as yourself. I've heard this from a few other analysts about Dean Smith, maybe experimenting with what kind of team Charlotte FC wants to be. Like, they established themselves as that team that could really lock you down on defense and search for goals on the counterattack. But I think he knows that to be a truly great MLS team, a title contending team, you do need to be able to win the game in possession. I don't think he's talked about that much, but it seems like that's what you're seeing, is that he at least wants to give Charlotte FC the ability to do that other style, even if it doesn't become their main style.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think that that is a good point. And it's true that in order to win real trophies, so whether you want to challenge for the Supporters Shield or you want to go for MLS Cup, for me, you do need to be able to win in different ways. And I think before, to your point, what you're saying, it really was kind of one note where I was like, okay, we're going to batten down the hatches. It's going to be difficult. You're not going to break us down. We're going to look for our chance. But, you know, even in the playoffs, it was nil-nil, you know, through the three match.
It was a PK series for sure.
Yeah, try to get to Pens, hope that Kalina steps up. And I'm not sure you can do that all the way through the playoffs until MLS Cup. And so I think you're right. Some adaptation is needed. We've seen the continued emergence of Pep Biel has been awesome. You bring in more players too with different profiles, with Zaha coming in. Of course, that's going to give you a much more attacking slant to your team. But for me, sometimes that also can throw off some of the balance, right? It can take some time to get to know each other. We've seen that as far as those relationships building on the field. But then also, I think that attacking balance, where what are you giving up to get that? And so I think that that's a little bit of the delicate dance that Dean Smith is having to figure out as the season progresses.
Yeah, I definitely have seen it. And I think that when push comes to shove, I think Dean's going to be pragmatic. He showed that when he came in his first season last year. I think that we trust Dino. We have a saying around here, Kalen, of this show and in this city, we say, Dino's at the wheel. And, you know, when Dino's at the wheel, good things are happening. So we don't mind. As long as Dino's at the wheel, we feel pretty good. It is really interesting to hear you talk about that Kalina Bingham position battle, because I definitely agree with what you're saying. You're stuck here with me for now on a Thursday morning as we record this, but I know later today you are going to talk to Dean Smith. So I'm interested, when you come out to the broadcast, I really want you guys to focus, because after you've talked to Dean, I want to hear if maybe your mind has changed on that whole Kalina Bingham thing or not. I expect Kalina, as someone who watches the club every day, but I totally think that you have a point, whereas like you just won. Bingham's won two, he won a cup game earlier this year, and that now he's won a league game. So why not roll with him? Kalina, also one of the reasons he was maybe sort of out of his head, I'm not sure if you knew, but his wife had a baby about 6 weeks ago. So, you know, there's that adjustment and all that. So yeah, we love Cali here. I think he's coming back in, but I wouldn't be shocked if what you say about Bingham's true.
No, I mean, look, he's earned the right to kind of call his shots and to play through some mistakes. And but I think that happened, you know, and I yeah. also
understand. He did make some mistakes. He definitely made some mistakes for sure.
Yeah, I was on that game actually the day after he had his kid, and it was against Charlotte.
So you knew. Sorry that I was trying to break news 6 weeks later to someone who
was. But it was originally it was David Bingham in the team sheet, and then I guess Kalina showed up and was like, hey, I'm ready to go. And
incredible. So that's an insight that I did not know. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's a pretty, I was like, wow, my wife is pregnant, and I'm like, man, I cannot imagine showing up the day after. And that is like really, really impressive.
Right. I can't imagine being allowed to leave the hospital room for anything other than a food run, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was not a great game. It didn't go his way in that direction. There's been a few mistakes that have been a little uncharacteristic. And yeah, I don't know. They do have quality as well. I know David Bingham for a long time. He went to Berkeley. He came into Berkeley right as I left. So I've sort of trained and known him for a long time. I trained with him and known him for a long time.
Did you host him? Did you take him out partying in Berkeley on a recruiting trip when you were senior and he was a freshman?
No, I'm not responsible for any recruiting trips or anything like that.
Statute of limitations has run out, Kalen. You can interrupt here. We're a good almost 20 years later here.
NIL money now is going crazy. Oh, so yeah, but no, we've had a bunch of great goalkeepers come through Berkeley: Drake Callender, Steph Fry, David Bingham. I'm trying to think. There's been a bunch of others too in MLS. Josh Saunders. So. He's a part of a long lineage. So, but yeah, there's really good quality on the team, but I think you're right. I mean, Kalina is like goalkeeper of the year. I expect him to have that position. I'm just curious what they do on the weekend.
Yeah. And like you said, when Bingham wins, give him a shot. Right. So, let's take a quick look, at the conference as a whole, and what's at stake here for Charlotte and why these match become so important, because Philadelphia is at the top of the league. Philadelphia Union is a team that had a lot of turnover this offseason. They changed their coach. They got rid of longtime coach Jim Curtin. They shipped out Gazdag, who was one of their DPs. You know, they just keep clicking along. They just keep on going. It never stops for the Philadelphia Union. I wonder, is this become a model franchise in MLS, do you think, Kalen? And what is it going to take for Charlotte to go get this win on the road?
Yeah, it's an interesting model, because not often do you see you shift out a manager who had been so successful as Jim Curtin had been for so long in Philadelphia, and bring his team, you know, really within inches of an MLS Cup. They won a Supporter Shield, consistently a playoff team. They had one year where they missed the playoffs last season, and then the change happens. But Bradley Carnell, I think, fits this system perfectly with the way that Ernst Tanner wants to run things there. And I think it is an interesting story too, with, you know, shifting out Gazdag, who wanted a new contract, it sounded like, and, you know, got that in Columbus, but they bring in new replacements. They bring in younger players. They continue to push forward. They'll sell some players abroad, and they continue to find, you know, a lot of talent that can actually
Jack McGlynn, rising superstar prospect. Send him off to Houston. We got a random Sullivan somewhere in the back that we can drag out. So it's crazy.
But I think some of it comes down to saying, okay, we have identified exactly the type of player that we want. And Jack McGlynn was not a prototypical Philly player. He was so good that they were saying, hey, we got to find a way to get him in. And he forced his way into the team and showed his talent, but maybe fits better in Houston. Maybe fits better somewhere else. And so, you know, now you have Danley Jean-Jacques, their six, or Jovan Lukic. Jean-Jacques won't be available. I think it's with Haiti, an international break, but I spoke to Jovan Lukic yesterday on our show, This Is MLS. It's our weekly YouTube show.
You guys had our boy Patty Adjemong on a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I wasn't on that for that one, but yeah, I'd like to meet Patty, man. He seems like a great guy, and I know
we'll talk about him in a second. Yeah,
nice. But yeah, their profile of the scouting, of the way they bring in players, has been really tremendous, and nobody thought they were going to be top of the East. Like, no, you go through the preseason predictions. I know everybody likes to hold those up. You can't find mine because I didn't turn it in. But
they can't make fun of your picks if they never have your picks, right?
Right. Hey, I'm a vet, so I'm not getting set up for that.
Love it. But they are at the top, like you said.
Yeah. They're at the top in the East right now, and they've been able to withstand absences. They continue to play the same style, and they just keep running it back. So I'm pretty interested to see. I think Charlotte, not too long ago, was also in the top position.
Sure.
Being down in eighth right now is, I'm sure, not a spot they want to be in. I think top four should be the aim, based on, I think, the way the roster is set up, the way that the season began. And so I think that really last month or so has been difficult, and that's where you see some of that falling from that position.
Well, let's end there, Kalen. Let's talk about those offensive weapons that have come in to try to give this team a little bit more of an attacking identity. We got Zaha, we got Pep Biel. Patty Ajimong sadly is going to be out for this game, but we believe Edon Tuklamadi is coming back from a slight injury he's carried the last few weeks. He should be back to start in the striker position. But what do you think about Charlotte FC's offense? What are we missing with Ajimong gone? Do you think Ajimong gets some starts in the Gold Cup? Do you even have time to go into the whole U.S. men's national disaster? Let's talk about it all here as we get to the finish of this show. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm really interested in Ajimong, how he does in the Gold Cup. And for me, him and Diego Luna are the two MLS players that I think can really continue to like push their name in the conversation for when, you know, the full team does come back. I think for different reasons. I think Diego Luna's, you can kind of tell just his attitude and his technical ability. But I think his attitude really stands out to me as something where there's so much upset at the way that, you know, things are going right now. And some of it comes down to, do the players care? Are they showing up? Is there the passion there? What's the identity of this team? It doesn't seem recognizable to the U.S. men's national teams of the past. And for me, Luna's kind of a throwback. He had to fight his way to get into MLS, went through the USL at New Mexico United, now has had to fight his way into the team. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a surprise to me that he's continuing to scrap when he gets to the national team and he's got a bloody nose and he's still playing. Like, that reminds me of a Clint Dempsey, you know, the way that Clint would play, his backstory, driving multiple hours in Texas to training, fighting, you know, not coming from
back of nowhere.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that's the intriguing part about Luna. And then Patrick Ajimong, for me too, also has a unique story where he wasn't, you know, this highly touted youth recruit with getting all the recognition and has ended up like coming into MLS and really making a name for himself. He's also an interesting one because I just think his player profile is something where it's like, I'm in the World Cup and there's, you know, 10 minutes left and I need a goal. It's kind of I don't care who you're playing against. You can watch any game in MLS. I'm sure, I know you watch all the Charlotte matches. Like, he is a handful. He is very difficult he can just shift a game instantly. And with Charlotte, he's playing from the start, of course. And I think that is a role that he's continuing to figure out. Like, how do I impose myself in, you know, throughout the course of a 90-minute match? How do I use my skill set in a way to refine these different tools? And I think he's done a lot of that, and I think there's still room to grow for him in that regard. But from the national team perspective, I think he's going to get starts, but I think also he can really fight his way potentially onto this 2026 roster, just because he has something that I don't think we really have in the player pool right now.
Yeah, we'd love to see it. We're very proud of Patrick and all the development he's had here in Charlotte over the last 3 years. And we want to see the guy get paid, to be honest. I think the club has more than made its money's worth on this league minimum second round pick guy that they got from the super draft. I think it's time they give him a little bit of financial reward, even if they do end up selling him on to another club later. I think the guy's earned it, and we want to see him do good things in the Gold Cup. But as for who's left, who we got here, Pep Biel, Wilfred Zaha, Abada Vargas, sort of in a position battle there over on the other wing. What do you think you're going to see on Saturday night from Charlotte in the attack?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest.
Right. Neither are we. We hope to see greatness. Tuklamadi is good. I don't know if you've watched Tuklamadi, but he's good.
Yeah. No, I've seen bits and pieces of him, and I'm going to dig a little deeper over these next couple of days. But what I've noticed from him more is like he can connect well with players and seems like he sort of combines and looks for linking up. And that's something that I'm like, oh, as a former striker myself, I'm like, if you can score goals and you can get in behind and you can do these things, but especially for a young player, if you can connect with pieces, especially quality pieces like Pep Biel, that was always my mindset of like, okay, who's the 10? Who's the best player and how can I help them? How can I come into a game?
Make their job easier and that'll keep you in the job. Yeah, it works that way in the corporate world, in the sports world, everywhere, you know, make everybody else's job easier and you're in.
I'm doing this with Callum Williams every weekend. You know, I'm trying to figure out, I'm like, how do I put Callum? No, he's putting me in.
100%. Yeah.
But I could see that's something that I've seen as far as his intelligence for a young player that I'm like, oh, that's really interesting to me. Zaha, I think is dangerous. There's been so much conversation from the outside. It's been a little confusing at times because just his personality is a little different. And then I was just kind of, I'm always into people who express themselves and share their emotions, the full range of them. But sometimes I've also noticed just from the matches that I've watched where it seems like I can kind of be right on that edge of like, is this productive for you? Just like forgetting the team for a minute. Maybe right. For them too, but as you know, just little exchanges in the match I was doing before with Gianni and him, where there was just a ball that got misplayed, and I've seen guys, we all go at it, you know, where it's like, hey man,
that was the New England match, I think, right?
Play that to feet, and play that to feet, like don't play that to space, and so I think there's still been a little bit of that adjustment for him, but they need to get the best of him to be able to find success and really take this to that next level of the project. And then on the other side, I think Abada is better in a little bit more of not a primary role where he can play as like a, you know, sort of a third option with BL and Ajiman drawing attention and Zaha, and he can just sort of have his space to kind of become a part of the flow of the offense, as opposed to saying, hey, at times, maybe last season, it was like, Abada, you're our guy. Like, if we're going to get a goal in the playoffs, we need you to step up and find the moment. I don't really think that's his personality as of yet, from the outside at least. So, but I'm interested to see like how these pieces gel, especially with the shift in Patrick being gone this weekend.
Yeah, Abada's specialty is either outrunning a guy on a long ball that just like kind of flukesly goes into space, or his real specialty is arriving at the back post in time to slot it home when no one saw him coming. So I hope that we can continue the goals. I hope to see some goals like we've talked about. I'm going to be in attendance. I don't want to drive 9 hours to not see any goals. So really hoping that the offense comes through, but we need to see the defense as well. I think it's going to be a clash of the Titans. I think Charlotte is back. I think it's a little bit of a reset and to get back to sort of where they were in March and April of the season. But let's admit it, I got the badge on my chest. I'm a little bit biased. So hopefully you are seeing similar things that I'm predicting when we get there.
Yeah, no, I'm hyped for this match. I think this is one of the better ones on the schedule for the weekend. And I think Charlotte is a top four team or around it right now. But they need to get back to proving that. And Philly right now, I don't care who's missing. I know both teams are missing players right now. Their style of play is going to be a fight and a scrap, and they score goals. And so I think it's going to be kind of like a very high energy match. And you have to be ready when you go to Subaru Park. I've done that myself in my playing career, even once in the playoffs. And one thing is you have to be ready for a fight, like second balls, duels, tackles, all that. And then you kind of earn your way from there into the game. So I'd expect Charlotte to try to meet that energy and then see if they can find the quality to make the difference in the game.
Well, Kalen, we can't wait. I had a great time talking with you. Thank you so much for swinging through. You got your Charlotte. You are now baptized in the Charlotte Soccer Show, like so many of your Apple brethren. And we can't wait to hear your call. I will be listening to your calls on the analysis of all the Charlotte goals on the highlight packages after the game, because as I said, I'll be in the stands. But safe travels to Philly. Good. Have fun talking to Dino later today, and send him our love. Tell him we love him.
I'm excited. He's always a fun guy to talk to, really open. We're excited for that call. And also, Callum Williams is a Aston Villa man. He's from Birmingham. So
he told me a story about how his neighborhood bar is the same neighborhood bar as Dean and his family back in Brummy. So very cool.
I got to get them to take me there one day.
All I can say is, you know, if they're feeling the chemistry, don't worry too much about being a third wheel. Just let that set them up to blossom, and you know, it's going to be okay. Let those Birmingham boys really bond, and you just kind of get in where you need to.
Last one, when I came to Charlotte last time, I went to a really cool bar called the Thirsty Beaver. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Legendary. Yeah. Great spot.
Cool. Yeah. I went there. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to get another Charlotte game this summer. So, but if I do, I'm going to go check out.
Thirsty Beaver is the spot for sure. If you're looking for a place a little closer to the stadium, swing by Hot Fly Brewing. It's right. It's literally two blocks down the main street from the stadium. Hot Fly Brewing. It's got a rooftop. Okay. Great local brews. That's where we do all our pre-partying. So we'll look for you there next time you're in Charlotte for sure.
All right. I'm marking that down.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Kalen Carr, for the crown, baby.
See you guys.